Thank you for the service he's already given us today and blessing it's been. And I want to look to him in prayer here before we start the message. Ask him to be with us. Dear Lord, as we open your word, we want to stop and acknowledge it as your word. We want to ask that your Holy Spirit would guide us and direct us in everything, Lord, we pray. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, we want to start in Mark, the 4th chapter. And once again, this week, we have another message about what can he do?
What can he do?
And of course, we brought that from the song that we sing. What can he do? And it goes through into the chorus, and it says, last week we talked about hear every time you pray. And this week we're going to be talking about drive all the clouds away. And with the help of the Lord, we want to just share what he's given us about this. So that's where he's brought this message from. And so we want to look at basically three different storms that it talks about in the Bible. And I hope you're encouraged this morning that whatever comes in your life, the answer to the situation is God. That he has control. No matter what or why the situations that have come into your life have come, the Lord has the ability to fix that situation and to drive the clouds away. We want to look in Mark, the 4th chapter here, like I said, and we're going to look down to the 35th verse. All right? And it's very important we're reading the 35th, because in the 35th verse, we're going to find out why these disciples were in the storm they were in. And it says in the 35th verse, "And the same day when the evening was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side." So as we read this story, this whole situation initiated because Jesus said, let's get in the boat and let's go to the other side. All right. Now, something in this particular storm that we talk about to get a hold of is to realize that Christ was not taken off guard by this storm that happened. And also, he was not telling them to go out there just because he wanted to see them have to fight a storm. Was not purpose. We don't see anywhere that God does those kind of things. But God normally has a reason why he does things. And so let's read this story and think about that. Okay? So he said, let us pass over unto the other side. And they, not knowing, really, none of them knew that a storm was coming. They were not aware of that. It says, when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there was also with him other ships. And there arose a great storm of wind. And the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. I just think about them passing to the other side. And there's something about this storm. Lord, when we got in the boat, maybe there was signs of a storm coming, but we don't see that. It seems like they got in the boat and there was really no signs of a storm happening. But just about when they got in the boat and got onto the little sea there, wherever it was that they were on this water, that suddenly there arose a great wind. Now, isn't that just like God sometimes? I don't know about your life, but it seems like he calls us sometimes to places and he knows what's fixing to happen. You know, I mean, unless we're devoid of faith in God, we know that he knows all things and that he anticipates, he sees the future before it comes. He doesn't anticipate it. He sees it. All right. And so has anyone else ever, am I the only one that's ever been in a situation and say, Lord, you knew this was going to happen. I know you knew it.
Yes.
I know that you were aware. Yes. So now, Lord, why am I out here in the middle of the storm? I'm doing what you told me to do. And I'm going where you told me to go. Mm-hmm. It seems like in my mind, you would make it a little easier on me. But the Lord has a purpose. He has a reason. And so in those times, what we want to remember is not this despair. Lord, why are you doing it to me again? As I heard somebody relate the story of Noah, and he's just talking about, Lord, you told me to do this, and everybody's fussing at me, and everybody's just, you know, they're down on me, they're not believing what I'm saying, and it's been this long, and there's, you know, and nothing's happened, and they're still looking at me, and Lord, you got it raining. You know, it's the things that are happening. Why have you put me in this situation? But the Lord has a purpose.
Yes.
Behind his things that he's doing. And he has a purpose, like with Noah. He had a purpose to say, hey, there's going to come a rain. What's your purpose, Lord? Well, I want you ready. I want you to be able to get in this boat. And so these disciples were kind of in that kind of a situation where God, they weren't where they weren't supposed to be or doing something they weren't supposed to be doing. They were right where God told them to be. And here comes the storm. And not just a storm of wind, but the waves beat on the ship so that it was now full. In other words, water was coming over the edges. And if you've ever been in a boat and water comes in the boat, but when it starts filling it up, that's a problem. That's an issue. Mm-hmm. Lord, this is going to result in some bad results here. And they were sitting here, I'm sure, trying to get the water out of the boat as much as they could. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Mm-hmm. And I wonder how they asked this question. You know, maybe they asked it like, Lord, you can stop this in a moment. Why are you allowing it to go on? That could have been how they were asking this question. But it's also possible that they were just hoping he'd grab a bucket and start chucking water out of the ship and help them in what they were trying to do. And our efforts and their efforts to be safe in the midst of the storm and fix it. And the truth is, all the buckets in the world, if that storm kept coming and the water kept coming over the edge, it weren't going to fix the problem. It wasn't going to save them. But I wonder how they were crying out to him. But whatever the case, when they cried out to him, he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And I just, you know, maybe your mind doesn't go this way, but I just go to it. Notice that he didn't even pick up a bucket and say, well, here, let me throw a few of these out for you. Let's prolong this misery a little longer. When it was time to take care of the storm, the master stood up and said, Peace, be still. And I say it that way because then I'm filled with this assurance in my heart that the Lord's not going to sit here and mock me in the midst of my distress or sit here and do something that just prolongs the misery when he knows he could do something to stop it as soon as it's time to stop it. It shows me that as soon as the Lord is ready to move, and as soon as it's time to move, that he's ready to move. He's not doing this for any purpose but to make a point in our life, to show us something, to open our eyes to something. And so here it says, peace be still, and the wind ceased, and there was a great calm, and he turned and he said to them, and said, why are you so fearful? Well, and we always take that as upbraiding and kind of like a fussing at them, but it was the point. He was trying to take them to a place where they realized, you know, Lord, we need more faith. Lord, we should have a higher level of confidence in you. They could be walking around and feel like we're just confident in the Lord and we're good. But in the midst of the storm, the Lord showed them, don't you see you have a need to have more confidence in me, to trust me more, to have this confidence to know that no matter what situation you're in the moment that it's necessary, I will stand up and say, peace be still. Don't you know you can have more faith? You can have a higher level of peace in the Lord and confidence in him to go with you through your battles? So here is a situation where the Lord worked it for their good because he saw there was a need. And he took them and he taught them something in that moment. And the whole time they were safe. Well, there's a story in Acts here, 27, about another storm. Let's turn over and read about it. And so Acts 27, and the story is the whole chapter. We're not going to read the chapter, but this is a story about Paul being taken to Rome. He was a prisoner at this time, and he was on a boat heading for Rome. And the first few verses, 6 or 7 verses of this chapter, just talk about kind of their path. And it was already getting a little bit rocky, and it was a little bit just not quite going right, so to speak. And they were having to make some adjustments and all. But they come down the 8th verse. It says, they hardly passing it came into a place called the Fair Havens, nigh whereunto was the city of Lasea. Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only the lading of and the ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenix, and there to winter, which is a haven of Crete, and lieth towards the southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. So Paul is on this ship. It's already been determined before he was put on the ship that it wouldn't really be necessary. The things brought against him were not true, and that he would be set at liberty, except he had appealed to Caesar. So therefore, he was going to Caesar, and they couldn't revoke that once he had appealed to Caesar. So he's already on this ship that through something that's not really his fault. He's been falsely accused. And he's on this ship, and he gets perception, whether just through knowledge that Paul had of wisdom of times past. They were past a certain time when it wasn't quite as safe to sail, or whatever reason, maybe God gave him an inspiration at this point that we don't really see here. But he said, I perceive this voyage will be much hurt and much damage. We should not do this. We should stay right here. But everybody else who had the control didn't listen to him. And it wasn't like Paul got to say, well, I'm staying here instead of going with you. I'm not going with you. You can go on. He had to go with them. All right. So he was at the mercy of other people's decisions in this point in his life. And they decided that they were going on. All right. And so if we read a little farther, this 14th verse says, but not long thereafter, They sailed close by Crete, but not long thereafter, there rose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. Basically, this is some people have likened it to a hurricane. It's a storm of great winds that's pushing. It's like that. Basically, they were stuck out in a massive storm in the boat. If we look on down in the 18th verse of the chapter, we'll read that goes on for several days. That we being exceedingly tossed with tempest, the next day they lightened the ship, and the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. Here it is. I told you this was going to happen. Here it is. We're throwing stuff out. We're losing cargo. All right. And when neither sun nor stars appeared in many days, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. All right. So what Paul has said is happening, and they're at the point where they're fearing even for their lives. And in all this, Paul's like, I told you. But here in the 21st verse, he says, but after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and who am I to serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. You know, I don't know what all God was trying to accomplish, but don't you think at this point they're listening a little more to Paul than they were the first time? You know, we didn't believe you. We sat down in here, and pretty much everything you said that was going to happen has happened. And even to this point now, where we're pretty much figuring out that we're not going to make it. If something happened, we're not going to make it. And now Paul is given a revelation from the Lord and a chance to speak to them. You know, sometimes even in being taken somewhere that's not really our choosing, but God just allowed Paul to be in this situation where other people had the control of where he was heading physically in his life. He didn't have the choice not to go. They decided he was going, and they decided they were sailing. And he tried to tell them, and yet here they go on. But you know, even in those situations, it is God who's still in control. It is God who still controls the storm and what it's able to do to your life and to those around you. God is still in control. And in this now, Paul has a place to stand up and proclaim what God has told him in a way that they were listening better than they ever would any other place. You know, that confidence to trust God, because I can want to fight. Lord, this can't be where you want me to go. They're making the decisions. This thing is heading in a way that I know it shouldn't go this way. This shouldn't be what's happening. And I'm caught in the middle of it. You know, God still can use you. You know why? Because he's still in control of everything. You just keep trusting him. Keep resting in him. And look to him for what to do in that situation. And when his word comes to you, you don't be afraid to proclaim it. You know, that's what the Lord's trying to look for, every way he can get his word out to this world. And sometimes we have to put down our own thoughts and our own fighting against the situation in order for the Lord just to have his way. But why not do it? Why not remember, where's your faith? Who's in control of this situation, really? Do I have to make it stop or else someone else has control? No, the Lord's still there. I can still trust him and rest in him. Let's see what happens. And so if we drop on down to the 33rd verse, it says, and when the day was coming on, this is, I think, 14 days or something like that. They had gone here. Yeah, when the 14th night was come and on. So they come to a point, and in the 33rd verse, it says, while day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, this day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continue fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health. There shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you. And down to the 42nd verse of this chapter, it says, so Paul says, you know, this is going on. It's going to be okay. And they come down, and as they come right at the land, the boat gets caught in a spot. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. Now, look at what happened here. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose. Do you know Paul's just trust and rest and willingness to speak the word of God ended up saving his life in this situation? Ended up being because the centurion now, who, what happened? Where did this start from? It started from not listening to Paul. But by the end of the journey, the centurion has such a respect for Paul that he won't even let them do what's really natural for soldiers to do. Their lives are about to be on the line. If they let these prisoners out, some escape. Well, it's going to be their lives. And so the natural thing is, look, it's come to this. It's time to just kill them all. The centurion's attitude had so changed towards Paul and to who he was and what he stood for that he was not, Paul didn't even have to say, would you help me? The centurion was there, moved by God, no doubt, to say, no, let's stop. And so, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose, commanded they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. And the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all to safe to land. Now we would say it, that they all escaped safe to land. You know, this was a storm that Paul would not have been in. He would have said, nope, I'm not getting on a boat. But somebody else's decisions had control over his life in this manner. God allowed them to. And he ended up out there in that place. And the Lord is right there. And exactly what the Lord said is what happened. He preserved them safe to the other side. You know, that's what the Lord can do, even when someone else's decisions, it seems to be pulling your life in a certain direction, so to speak. Not where you would take it. You're caught in a place. God can still be there with you in that place if you'll continue to serve him, trust him, and just put your faith in him. Jonah, the first chapter, I don't know if anybody else, but at this point I'm kind of thinking, okay, we probably got one more thing to deal with, don't we? It wasn't really a surprise to me that God started moving my heart towards Jonah. Because you know what Jonah's about, right? Jonah's about us and our own ignorant decisions, rebellious decisions, not smart decisions. You can put words on it how you want to. But the story of Jonah ended up where it was because of Jonah's choice. All right, so let's look at Jonah here. Let's read about him just a minute. All right. It says, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, now Jonah was a prophet, and therefore the word came to him, and it was a mission, what he was supposed to do. That was his job. This was his job, to take the word from the Lord and go to the people, go wherever the Lord told him to deliver it. And so Jonah even knew, and this wasn't an unfamiliar situation to him. It says, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Jonah. Nobody came along and said, you might not do that. Jonah wasn't in an unfamiliar situation. He was a prophet. He knew what the word of the Lord. And part of the reason he was running, we find as we read through the story, was of his fear of what God might do for his enemies. He didn't want to see them blessed. He didn't want to see them hear the message. He just wanted to see them destroyed. That was, his heart wasn't in a good place at all. And so he ran from the presence of the Lord. And he found a ship going to Tarshish. And so he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. And there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. And so the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. And so they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation? Whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto them, why hast thou done this? They didn't really know the Lord, but they knew that Jonah was making a not very wise decision right here. They're saying, why would you do that? Where in the world did you think this was a good idea to do this? And he says, for the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. They said to him, what shall we do to thee that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land, for they could not. For the sea wrought and was tempestuous about against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord, probably for the first time in their life, and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech you, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. And so they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea. And the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. You know, I think that if they went back to the start of this, the Lord would say, don't do this, Jonah. And it would be wisdom for Jonah never to do this. There's not one shred of wisdom in what Jonah did. He went from the presence of the Lord. There was not something. This is not the way to accomplish things in your life. But God was able to still do something, even when Jonah was doing nothing but what was foolish in his life. He was able to still reach people. And you know what? He didn't forget Jonah. When they threw Jonah over, it says a great fish swallowed him up. A great fish swallowed him up. And what happened in the middle of the fish? Do you remember? I won't go into it right now, but it's in the second chapter of Jonah right there. Go read it. In the belly of the whale, God made a place where when Jonah came face to face with his decision, and there was no hiding, there's no running, Jonah. You made this decision, and here you are. But you know what he was able to do? He was able to repent of it. And when he did, it says the fish, look at these last words. We touched on them recently. It says here in the 9th verse of the 2nd chapter, but I will sacrifice unto thee, these are Jonah's words, with the voice of thanksgiving, I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the fish spit him up on dry land. You know, sometimes we're in storms because God puts us there. Sometimes we're in storms, it seems like, because somebody else has control. Why are you letting them do this, Lord? Why am I stuck in this situation? Well, you are, and the Lord's allowing it. And sometimes we're there because we made a really not smart choice in our life. True. We went from the presence of the Lord, and therefore we ended up in the place we are. You know, God's in control in all of those situations.
Yes.
If we're willing to acknowledge it, even the situation where it's our choice and it takes some repenting, it takes us coming back to the Lord and say, Lord, it was my fault. I'm the reason this is happening. I'm the reason this is here. The Lord is still in control. And you know, even of the fish, how did the fish not, I've puzzled on that. He could have been gone so quickly. It seems like he should have been gone so quickly, just being swallowed. But God still preserved him there. The Lord is in control. It does not matter what the storm is or what the clouds are. If we're willing to put our trust in him, the Lord will accomplish his purpose in our life and bring us where we need to be. You pray for me. Amen.